Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see everybody here this morning. For our visitors, welcome to Webster Presbyterian Church. We hope you'll stop by after the service and say hello to some of the folks in the narthex, and then join us for coffee in the social room, a little meet and greet time to welcome Reverend Davis. It is the nature of a word to reveal what is hidden. The word that is hidden still sparkles in the darkness and whispers in the silence. It entitles us to pursue it and to yearn and sigh after it, for it wishes to reveal to us something about God. O Christ, out of your fullness we have all received grace upon grace. You are our eternal hope. You are patient and full of mercy. You are generous to all who call upon you.
Save us, Lord.
O Christ, fountain of life and holiness, you have taken away our sins. On the cross you were wounded for our transgression and were bruised for our iniquities.
Save us, Lord.
O Christ, obedient unto death, source of all comfort, source of our life, our resurrection, our peace, and reconciliation.
Save us, Lord.
O Christ, Savior of all who trust you, hope of all who die for you, and joy of all the saints.
Save us.
Lord Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, redeemer of the world. Let us join together in singing hymn number, it's on the insert and page.
Thank you.
face me this way? Thank you. All right. Good. Glad we got a good big crowd today. When you came in, I gave your moms and dads, or grandmas and grandpas, this paper. It talks about Lent. Can you see the new color purple on the communion table? That's our purple color for Lent. And Reverend Phil has got purple vestments on, and there's purple hanging down there. So that's our Lenten color. Lent is the 40 days, can you say 40 days? 40 days before Easter, but we don't count Sundays. We get Sundays off. Okay, actually Lent started last Wednesday, and it was called Ash Wednesday. And ashes are what is left over after you have a bonfire, or when the charcoal on the grill gets all dried up and it's done burning. And that's what's in this little cup, is a little cup of black ashes. Now, a long time ago, in Jesus' day, they used to put the ashes on themselves to remind them of their sins. Sins are things that we do wrong. Do we make mistakes sometimes? Everybody does, yep. Everybody, grown-ups and children, make mistakes, and we sometimes don't follow what the Bible says for us to do. So we're sorry for our sins, and the cross reminds us to ask God for forgiveness. Now, what happened on Wednesday? I see Elise and Kyle here. They came on Wednesday night. What happened, Kyle? That's right. Reverend Phil put his finger down into this little dish because it's real black. Can you see how black it is? And he put a little cross on our forehead. And when we left, that reminded us that we make mistakes, but we can ask God to forgive us of our mistakes. I'm going to bring these with me today to praise and play. And if you want to touch the ashes or have a little cross on your hand, you can do that too, and we'll remember that. Okay, so Lent is during the time, the 6 weeks before Easter. So we're getting ready for Easter time. And I want you to focus on the stories that Jesus told us. So when you get this little paper home, have Mom and Dad read it to you, because there's ideas, something to do for each day during Lent. Okay? Now, here's our project for today. And we have puzzles here, and you need to help me put them together. So I'm going to put this puzzle right down on the floor, right down there. Will you put that puzzle together? And some of the moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas can help. Okay. And here's some kids over here. You can work on putting this puzzle together. And my kids right here in the front, you can put this puzzle together. And when we get the puzzles together, Mrs. Brocker will read the words. We do this pretty often in my Sunday school room, because it helps the kids get active. You're almost there. Okay, can we put the purple one together so we can see the words? Can we move it together? Let's get that part up there. Awesome. All right. So now look at your puzzle. Mrs. Brocker's going to read the words. So for the first week in Lent, I want you to focus on these two things. Giving a one finger. Awesome. The first week, Jesus taught us to serve others. Say that. Jesus taught us to serve others. That means to help them. Number two, show me two fingers. Second week, Jesus healed the sick. Say, Jesus healed the sick. All right. And during that second week, I would like you to make a card for our teenage friend, Josh Holbrook, and I gave you the address to mail the cards to him. Right? He just got out of the hospital. Okay, number three. Give me a three. Jesus taught us to love one another. Say, Jesus taught us to love one another. So I want you to show love during that week. Number four. Four fingers. Jesus taught us to be humble. Jesus taught us to be humble. What's humble mean? Let somebody else go first. Okay? When you're playing a game, let them have their idea first. If you get a snack, let your brother or sister get theirs first. That means to back off and let somebody else go first. Number five, Jesus taught us to give to the poor. Jesus taught us to give to the poor. So look around your house. Maybe you have some canned goods that you'll bring in for the food barrel. Maybe you've got some clothes or toys that you're willing, because you're too big, you can give them away. Okay, number six, the last week before Easter, Jesus taught us how to pray. Jesus taught us how to pray. And I'd like you to pray the Lord's Prayer during that last week. All right, so boys and girls, let's remember Lent. It's 40 days before Easter. It helps us get ready for the Easter story. Let's pray. Please repeat after me. Jesus, our Savior.
Jesus, our Savior.
We know we make mistakes.
We know we make mistakes.
We are sorry and we ask you to forgive us.
We are sorry and we ask you to forgive us.
Help us to be more loving.
Help us to be more loving.
Generous.
Generous.
Helpful and kind.
Helpful and kind.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you're going to go that way. But if you're littles, all the way up through second grade, you're going to praise and play with Miss Daly. If you're older than the second grade, then you go back and sit down by Mom and Dad.
First reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, Genesis 2:15 through 17, and then Genesis chapter 3:1-7. Genesis reading. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may eat freely of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." And from chapter 3, "Now the servant was not ashamed. Now that the servant was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord had made, he said to the woman, 'Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Our second reading this morning is Psalm number 32. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away, though my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at the time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many were the torrents of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Let's sing together hymn number 81.
Begin this morning by saying thank you for all your kindnesses and your gracefulness. The lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and I'll be reading from a slightly different translation from what is in the in your pew Bibles, but it's Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," the devil said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God all said, Amen. Amen. So I'm going to try this one more time, see how this works out. Does anybody here know the difference between a Baptist and a Methodist? Methodists speak to one another at the liquor store. Okay, come on back now. Come on. You okay, Bob? Bob represented me as a good guy, so I'm trying to preserve his reputation. On this first Sunday in the season of Lent, I want simply to suggest that in any and all situations, ask the Savior to help you. In everything, turn to God and ask the Savior to help you. Now, it is customary at the start of the season of Lent for the church to consider Jesus' 40 days in the desert and to consider his temptation by the devil. And as we consider these temptations of the devil, if you have not already, I want to remind you that you should add to your spiritual habits that in any and all situations, you ask the Savior to help you. Reality, spiritual reality, has it that there are demonic forces at work in the world. Now, I'm perfectly clear that thinkers of the Age of Enlightenment would never say what I just said. What did I just say? There are demonic forces at work in the world. I'm clear that modern and postmodern thinkers would never say that. What did I say? There are demonic forces in the world. There is indeed a long list of what we call the rationalist philosophers who believe that reason is the ultimate test of knowledge. To these rationalist philosophers, I asked them to have a talk with the Scottish poet Robert Burns and explain man's inhumanity to man. See, I'm clear. There are demonic forces in the world. To those who believe that reason is the ultimate test of knowledge, give me a reason for Jeffrey Epstein. Give me a reason for Adolf Hitler, Idi Amin, and the Syrian refugee crisis. Give me a reason for the biblical Herod who had babies slaughtered. Give me a reason for infant children being separated from their parents at the southern border. There are demonic forces at work in the world. And not acknowledging that evil is active in the world is to put our very lives at risk. We delay the kingdom of God come on earth if we don't acknowledge the reality of evil. Present at the dawn of creation in Eden's garden, evil was there in the form of a snake and conspired to separate Eve from God's will. Go to the book of Job, and God asks Satan in Job and says, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answers, "From going to and fro on the earth." Demonic forces present, taking many forms, going to and fro on the earth. Now, let me see if I can dig myself out of this dark hole that I've just put us in. As we begin this season of Lent, looking at the temptations Jesus faced by the devil, my message to you is ask the Savior to help you. Now, let me just kind of skip right on ahead to the end of this and the conclusion of this lesson, which has always warmed my heart, so much so that I ask it to be put on the screen before you. The end of this lesson says, "And angels came and attended to him." Picture that, if you will. You've not eaten for 40 days. You've had to stare down and reject challenges to your core belief. Your challenger leaves you, and then angels come and attend to you. So looking at our lesson, the devil has employed some very distinct strategies for trying to tempt Jesus and get Jesus to turn away from God. The devil has means and methods. The devil is known for winning friends and influencing people. The devil, in our lesson, challenges Jesus along his physical needs, around his identity, and the extent to which the earthly Jesus might have had an ego. The devil even challenges whatever ego the earthly Jesus might have had. The setting of our lesson is Jesus after a 40-day fast. He's up on a mountain, and he's hungry. Now, I just need to say and pass this along to young people, if you don't know it already, that you should never make a decision when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. HALT is the acronym. Don't make a decision when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Pass that on to the young people in your lives. Jesus is at the end of a 40-day fast, hungry, and the devil says to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." The devil is playing a psychological game with Jesus. The devil knows who Jesus is. The devil knows what Jesus needs. And using what he knows about Jesus' power and the fact that Jesus is hungry, he tries to evoke or get a particular kind of behavior out of Jesus. This kind of stuff happens all the time. Children are abducted with simple statements like, "Would you like some candy?" The electorate is told no new taxes. Cunning strategies are employed by psychopaths, narcissists, and those who seek to trip us up in order to gain more power. This happens more often than we know. But Jesus does not forget who he is. Jesus does not forget what his Father expects from him. Jesus knows his Father will sustain him, and Jesus tells the tempter, "It is written." In saying "it is written," Jesus tells the devil that his challenge to his identity is not enough for him to listen to him instead of God. Jesus knows that God will sustain our lives. Jesus knows that God will sustain our souls. And Jesus knows God will sustain our spirits and says to the devil, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus is clear that God is our sustainer. And in so many words, he says to Jesus says to the devil, "Back off." This does not stop the devil. The dark forces of the world are relentless. They will study you. They will act like they are on your side and claim to know what you want and what you need. The darkness of our world will try to convince us that we need economic growth more than we need clean water and air. My declaration this morning is that the God who created you wants you and your family to drink clean water and to breathe air free of pollutants. The dark forces will let manufacturers release toxins and pollutants into the air and water in the so-called name of economic growth. The kind of theology I stand by asserts that God wants your family to drink clean water, and God wants your family to breathe air that is free of toxins. But you see, the devil will employ cunning strategies to get what he wants. In verse 5, the lesson continues to tell us that then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Here, the devil is going after Jesus' identity. The devil attempts to speak to his identity and says, in so many words, says, Jesus, use God's power and fly. But the devil goes one step further. And this is important to make note of. The devil quotes scripture. The devil cites the 91st Psalm as he seeks to manipulate Jesus. And the point to be clear about is that the dark forces of the world will study you and invoke the word of God for their own purposes. I am amazed and saddened to see the mega churches preaching the prosperity gospel that has nothing to do with the eternal well-being of your soul. My point is that your identity, if it is not deeply rooted in faith in God, those who claim to speak for God will manipulate you to serve idols. With each choice we make, the question to always ask ourselves is, what does this have to do with the love of God? If the answer comes back void, then you have to reconsider your choices. Just take note that the devil will even quote scripture to try to manipulate you. Allow me now to move to a close and speak to this last temptation. But I got to tell you that some years ago, I was at a conference. I was staying on the upper floor in a fancy hotel, looking out the window at the skyscrapers in a major city. And then this passage came to mind. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor and said, all this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil is saying to Jesus, I've got power. And the devil seeks to meet unmet needs of our egos and said, I've made a world and you can have it. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. The devil says, you can have this world I've made if you will bow down and worship me. But let me read this passage to you again, because it should serve as a caution for anyone who makes decisions that affect the lives of others. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Imagine how different our world would be if those who are called to serve God, to serve others, first serve God. Jesus says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the best part of this lesson comes. Matthew reports, the devils left and angels came and attended to him. Don't lose this. The devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. Now, I just got to tell you, I love that ending to this lesson. Angels came and attended to him. Now, this life can be difficult sometimes. There are times when we are troubled to the point of desperation, desperate because of some unexpected change. The actions of desperate people are not always the best. But never forget, we have a loving God who loves us no matter what the situation and leaves us no reason to ever feel desperate. One of the older hymns of the church about temptation has the following refrain, and I think it's a proper way to end this message. The song says, "Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through." Whatever the situation, look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. I ask now that the church would just say amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We continue our worship now with the presentation of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, and I invite the ushers to come forward.
child of God, we come to your throne with humble hearts and thankful messages you give us daily. Lord God, we pray that as we give you our offerings and tithes this morning, that we will remember that these gifts come from you. Please accept these offerings and tithes with gladness. It is Jesus' name and for his sake that we pray together. Amen.
I invite the servers to come forward now. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from the north and the south and the east and the west and sit at the table in the kingdom of God. This is our Lord's table, and our Savior invites those that trust him to share in this feast which has been prepared. Let us bow our heads for a brief moment of prayer. Gracious eternal God, we thank you for this opportunity to break bread with you, to dine with you, and to fellowship with you. We ask, dear God, that as we pull our feet up to the table, that as we sit, that we listen, that we feel and discover within our hearts the kind of people that you call us to be, and that once again we will discover in our hearts the blessing that you have been to us. It's in Jesus' name, and for his sake we all pray together. Amen. Okay, I've not done this here before, is I'm going to pass the bread out. We're going to take the bread, and then the ushers will then serve the wine, and we will drink the wine. How about some music? Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. With thanksgiving, let us offer grateful praise to God. And the people all said together, thank you. Before I solicit your joys and concerns, I just want to ask that you would hold our presbyter, Amy Fowler, and her husband, Gene, in prayer. Amy was here, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, served, and if I remember, the subject of her, I read in the bulletin, that the subject of her sermon was love. But Amy was here a few weeks ago, and her husband, Gene, has gone into hospice. the doctors have said that, you know, there's really nothing we can do at this point, but really just kind of release you into God's loving arms. But do, you know, this will be a difficult time for Amy, as well as for the presbytery as a whole, as, you know, we all adjust to life, you know, without Jean. So do keep, you know, Jean and Amy in your prayers. I want to take a moment now and solicit any joys or concerns or special prayer requests that you all may have.
Our sister Peggy is starting the process of looking for a change in residence, and we're looking at various retirement communities. And I would ask that you pray that she and her family come to a really proper conclusion and that they find the best home residence that is available, and that Peggy can make the move and have a change in life that will work for everybody, and that we still have our dear Peggy with us all the time.
Amy Vokulich has been at Strong Hospital since Friday, suffering from a viral infection and complications from diabetes. But she says that she'll probably be coming home today or tomorrow.
I have to have my little cheat sheet here, folks. Just thank you so much for all your prayers for our little Daisy. Our report last night is they've begun to pull back her numerous treatments, and she's handling it very well. She was cleared of her virus yesterday, and they have removed her from isolation status. Because of that, her brother and sister were allowed to visit her, and they were together as a family for the first time in 3 weeks yesterday. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we just hope that she continues to progress.
Amen, amen.
I just want to thank the congregation for the prayers and cards that we received for the celebration of George's mother's life on Friday. We had a very nice family gathering, and now she's at the table that the choir was singing about.
I would ask for prayers for my daughter Lainey and her friend Emily. Emily's cousin Kate, 25 years old, committed suicide, and just prayers for that family and for especially Emily. It's just a really hard time for that family right now. There was no indication or anything, so.
I'm just so grateful that David is getting better following all the rules, and they're just, it's amazing. So I thank God for keeping on him so that he does what he should.
I just want to ask for prayers. Kim's best friend from high school, her sister-in-law died suddenly last night. So I pray for their family and travels for all of them.
So I just wanted to let you all know that Josh was able to come home last Tuesday, so that's a huge blessing. We're adjusting to our new normal, but he's doing really well. I believe his oncologist is going to come today and just kind of check out, make sure everything's going well. Just continue to hold him in your prayers. We love him so much. So thank you.
Just in case anyone wants to know, there is a GoFundMe page on for Josh for medical expenses. I just discovered it the other day because I'm not on Facebook, but there is a link, so just so you know.
For your prayers, and praise God for pulling me through whatever I had in Florida, most likely a seizure caused by a combination of infections that just suddenly knocked me literally out for almost a day and hospitalized me for a few days. But praise the Lord, I was surrounded by not only family angels, but strangers as angels, and I'm just so glad to be back and feeling pretty well except for tiredness. It's slowly subsiding. So thank you.
Amen. Yeah.
If I can find the right button, we'll be okay. just thanks, praise, relief, whatever. Doreen just finished the five-day round of radiation treatment Friday. Everything's good, and she's also healing beyond the point a year ago when she first had her femur broken, and the second time it looks like it's much better, but it's still a long haul. She's not fully mobile yet, so but thanks, and she's coming along.
Is that all? Yeah. I want to begin, or at least first, make a public service announcement. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. I get this from on high. The director of the Center for Disease Control, wash your hands. You know, there are moments like this when I just simply feel wholly inadequate to carry to God the depth of our concerns. But what I'll say to you is, let's all try together and turn our hearts and minds to God in a moment of prayer. Eternal and everlasting God, we come to you now. Before anything else is said, to say thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, for bringing us to this day, to this moment, and bringing us to right now. Right now, dear God, with numerous challenges. But we thank you, dear God, for right now. We thank you for the grace and the mercy that got us to right now. We thank you, dear God, for the love that came to us in so many ways for bringing us to right now. So right now, dear God, we tune our hearts, we tune our hopes to you, dear Lord. Many have spoken this morning and spoken of concerns that they have and have spoken of trouble that they have in their lives, but we are a people who have come to know you, dear God, come to know that trouble don't last always. So we're grateful, dear Lord, for the hope that you have placed in us and the hope that we have, the Easter hope we have of a resurrection, the Easter hope that says that in all things God gets the last word and that God's final word is life everlasting. So we come to you, dear God, saying thank you. Thank you for Jesus who paved the path into eternity. Thank you for Jesus who showed us precisely how to live right now. So we ask, dear Lord, just simply for your blessings. Many have called for prayer. Some have not. But you, dear God, know each and every one of our needs. You, Lord, number the hairs that are on our heads. You, dear Lord, bless us in ways which we can't even see right now. So we're just going to trust you, dear God, for and with your blessings. We're going to trust, dear God, that we can have the peace that passes all understanding available in your Son, Christ Jesus. We're going to trust you, dear God, that we can take Jesus' yoke. We can take his burden, for it is light. Yes, dear God, thank you for all things. And if any concerns have been spoken, we leave them here with you, trusting that your will shall be done. And we say this prayer and all other prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And it's for his sake, the people of God, all said together. Amen. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, Master, how shall we pray? And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, when you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Let us rise now and blend our voices together to sing hymn number 357, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee, number 357. again, I say, may God give you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. And may the blessings of God Almighty be with us now, this day, henceforth, and forever. And I ask again that the people of God would say, Amen.